Well, in the aftermath of the New South Wales state election, it might be fair to say some are feeling a little less than enlightened. But there was a different kind of winner to be celebrated with the debut launch of the iVote online system. This meant that for the disabled and absentee voters of the community, having their say was a lot less of a hassle than ordinarily. And while this test run proved successful, it seems a federal version is still far off. A psychological ploy, says the online editor of Computer World Australia, Tim Lohman. Ellie Schneider got the details.
What barriers stand in the way of a nationwide adoption of e-voting?
The number one issue is one of perception, and that perception comes down to essentially security. They're very precious about the value of their vote, so as apathetic as Australians are about politicians and government and elections, they're still very conscious and wary of people being able to somehow manipulate their votes. People might be familiar with the film Ferris Bueller's Day Off, in which Ferris, hacks into his high school computer and basically changes his grade. Well, I think people are concerned that some pimply teenager can do much the same thing with their vote. So this issue of security is primarily what governments need to resolve if they are to roll e-voting out across the country.
And what are the arguments for electronic voting?
Well, I believe cost, accessibility and accuracy are probably the main ones. So if you look at the Australian Electoral Commission, they quoted a federal 2010 federal election cost of around $160 million. So that's quite a lot of money that gets spent on paper-based electoral systems. And then when you look at state elections, that's millions and millions more on top of that. So by moving to an electronic system, and it's important to clarify that there's sort of two main approaches. One is where the systems are basically an analog for a traditional paper vote, where people would just go into a school or a church, and instead of a polling booth, they basically have a computer and they tick themselves off on the register and then go in and make an anonymous vote. And they're fairly secure, as they're typically not connected to the internet, and you would literally have to break into the school, steal the whole system. So, and the other one is a website-based approach where people would log into a, say, an Australian Electoral Commission website and then cast their vote there. So that, basically setting up that website would be vastly cheaper than the millions and millions that get spent on a proper paper election.
So then would you consider e-voting a psychological, not technological challenge?
I think so. So as I sort of alluded to before, I think this idea of security is the number one barrier, but I think you also have to remember that paper-based voting isn't in itself a perfect medium either. If you sort of think a few elections back in the US, they had this issue of the hanging chad where it was unclear, because of the way the ballots work, it was unclear as to whether people had actually made a vote or whether the chads had simply just fallen out of the ballots. Similarly, with paper ballots, there's the issue of whether someone may well have made a mark on their form, but if they'd made it outside of the box, well, did they carry out a proper vote? Or if it's across two or more boxes, well, who did they really vote for? So it's far from a perfect medium. And what e-voting can do is actually enhance the accuracy of these votes, because if you don't vote for a particular candidate or any candidate, then you can't conclude your electronic vote. So therefore, the accuracy goes from, for argument's sake, 97% or so to 100%. And so that's a very, very positive thing, because each person who casts a vote, their voice is heard.
If e-voting is considered a psychological challenge, can these challenges be overcome?
I think they can. I think that basically the current situation today is that people feel incredibly comfortable with sharing all sorts of intimate information about their sex lives and other aspects of their lives on Facebook and Twitter and all these social media sites. People are also very, very comfortable with conducting online transactions. They're comfortable with filling out Medicare forms online, doing their tax. So all this incredibly personal data they're very comfortable with dealing with, yet for some reason, when it comes to democracy, they're very antsy about it. So it is a question of perception there. So I think the government has a very strong role in just basically broaching the concept and discussing it with people. Because I think another benefit is that increases accessibility and participation. If you are sort of wheelchair bound or you're stuck at home, being able to log onto a website and cast your vote is going to mean that much more people participate. You know, in Australia, it's mandatory that you vote, but in countries like the US and the UK, it isn't. So even if you get a 20, 30, 40% increase in the number of people voting, that's a win for democracy, regardless of who the candidate is at the end of it.
Feedback to the New South Wales Electoral Commission regarding iVote has been generally positive. But according to comments in the iTunes store, the much-publicised New South Wales EC iPhone app seems to have experienced errors in search queries for postcodes and suburbs. What do you see as the other potential errors with the technology?
Well, I think the quality of an app is utterly dependent on the quality of the data that gets put in. So you get, I think there's an old maxim, garbage in, garbage out. So if there's greater government participation, and in particular the Electoral Commission participation, then if there's accurate data going in, then you'll have an accurate outcome.
Is it likely that e-voting be rolled out by the next federal election?
I think it's highly unlikely. The Australian population is very conservative when it comes to voting. If you look at referendum for change to the constitution, typically they get voted down. So something as radical as being able to select the next prime minister or premier of a state from your iPhone is a very radical idea for many, many people. Initial stages will most likely be just expanded applications of the sort of booth that you have seen for sort of vision and hearing impaired people. But I'm very hopeful that that we can, as trust in the internet and our lives more and more and more online, that basically electronic voting does get taken up. I mean, I can't wait to vote from my computer and not have to trawl down to my local school.
Tim Lohman, the editor for Computer World Australia, speaking there with Ellie Schneider.